Sounds good.
All right, I have 9 o'clock. Everybody's here. Everybody, welcome to the Five Cities Fire Authority Board Meeting for Friday, September 17th. I'll call the meeting to order. And if you'd like to silently join me in the flag salute, I pledge allegiance to the flag, of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Trisha, if we could get a roll call, please.
Chair Storton.
Here.
Vice Chair Lee.
Here.
Board Member White.
Here.
Thank you. Everybody's here. I would like to say, just for the record, that unfortunately, we did have a meeting in person at our last meeting, but due to COVID constraints and concerns, we are now meeting telephonically based upon the governor's order. And any citizens that want to participate in this meeting can call 1-833-611-0393. And we'll move on to the agenda review. Any business, order of business that needs to be changed today by any of the board members?
Nothing by me.
Nothing by me.
All right. Myself either. So we'll move on and we'll go to the approval of the minutes for the board meeting of July 16th, 2021. Jeff or Karen, do you have any questions or comments on the minutes from our last meeting?
I had nothing.
Nothing for me either.
All right. Thank you. If I could get a motion to approve those minutes.
I so move.
I'll second, subject to asking for public comment if there is any.
Thank you for that. Trisha, any public comment on the minutes?
We do not.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Could we get a roll call, please?
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. We'll move on to community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any citizens to comment on items that are not on today's agenda. Trisha, do we have anyone waiting or any written communication?
We do not.
Okay, thank you for that. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We have one item on the consent agenda. This is our cash disbursement activity from July 1st, 2021 through August 31st, 2021. Any board members have any comments or questions on the cash disbursement activity? Hearing none. Okay, thank you. Trisha, do we have any comments from the public on this item?
We don't have any public comments.
All right, thank you. Could I get a motion, please?
I so move that
I'll
we
second.
Approve the cash disbursement.
Great, thank you both. Trisha, could we get a roll call?
Board Member White?
Yes.
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. Next item is continued business, which we have none. We'll move on to new business. Under new business item A, this is station coverage constraints, and Chief Lieberman will provide us with a report. Chief, go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Storton and members of the board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. Before I jump into the specifics of the staff report, I first of all wanted to acknowledge that our treasurer, Nicole Valentine, is on the call with us as well for any financial questions you may have once we dig into the staff report. Secondly, I just wanted to kind of give a little of a background leading up to this specific item, given some emails we've received from the public and some media inquiries. And if you bear with me, going back to 2009 or so, the communities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano directed staff to develop a consolidated fire and emergency services organization that would more efficiently and effectively serve the communities. And that's what led to the creation of the Five Cities Fire Authority in 2010. The member communities contributed at that time their existing staff, their existing fire engines, equipment, apparatus, and a funding formula was created for cost sharing that would support the organization. So initially out of the gate, there were perpetual cost savings because each community no longer needed to have their own administrative office, their own fire chief, their own battalion chiefs, their own administrative operations. That was all became one. Sharing both operational and capital expenditures moving forward after the creation date, and probably, you know, two really important items. One of them is all the personnel were trained at the same level and standard, so their interaction was seamless when they responded to an incident together. And lastly, the biggest thing was the nearest Five Cities Fire Authority resource would respond to that emergency call for help regardless of community boundary. Because remember, and before the creation, we were all one, or we were all separate entities, and we would stop at our community boundaries unless we were invited in to the next community. So the boundary drop was a huge benefit to the Five Cities Fire Authority. Since the creation of the Five Cities Fire Authority, the member communities have supported the further evolution of the organization. They had to replace the breathing apparatus. That was about $350,000. The community stepped up knowing that needed to be done. We had fire engines that were literally breaking down, going to cardiac heart emergencies. The fire engines had to be replaced, and that was done. To find a need to transition away from part-time staffing to full-time staffing, that was accepted as a priority, and that transition started. So the communities have supported the evolution of the Five Cities Fire Authority, and a lot of great things have happened. We're just not done. Do you want to talk just quickly about mutual aid? Because mutual aid, I think a lot of people are confused about mutual aid response and how it impacts our staffing levels. So mutual aid, as you may know, is a statewide program that was based on the premise that one day a jurisdiction will face an emergency that overwhelms their resources and their ability to manage that incident. Basically, the premise is one day all of us will be in this situation. And a couple of examples. One of them was in the last few years, there was a structure fire in Arroyo Grande off of Halcyon. And that structure fire was, our arriving units got a quick knockdown on it, but to keep that structure fire contained to a small an area within that home, and to definitely keep it away from the homes around it, we relied on mutual aid. We had resources from the city of San Luis Obispo, Cal Fire, the city of Santa Maria, all helping us as mutual aid partners. If we just take that up to the larger, more complex incidents that our crews are on in Northern California, Five Cities Fire Authority, along with other departments in this county, went north for the same reason as I mentioned. All of us are going to run into a situation where we can't manage an incident with the resources that we have. So Five Cities staff, trained as single resources, the wildland engine and a crew, they all went north to help the cause. Well, the vehicle use, the daily rate on the vehicles, whether it's an SUV or a fire engine, those costs will be reimbursed to the agency along with the personnel costs, and a 15% surcharge to cover our administrative work to support the cause will be reimbursed to us. I think it's important to recognize that it's also the experience that our people are getting responding to these larger incidents. Our folks are doing things at these larger incidents that they won't do here on a daily basis. And when they bring that experience and training home with them, it will only make us stronger and more capable to manage those significant events when they happen locally. I think it's really important to focus on that. I do want to throw out a recognition to Engineer Joe Silva when I talk about our aging apparatus. You know, we take that vehicle reimbursement that we get from the incidents and we isolate it. We put it into our own little savings account, our coffee can, because we need to replace fleet vehicles. We're still driving a pickup truck from 1995 or 96. That's in great shape, but it's getting hard to get parts for it. So between taking the funds from the mutual aid reimbursement or Engineer Silva's involvement with a federal surplus program where we're attaining specialty vehicles in good shape at virtually no cost, or needed medical supplies that's worth tens of thousands of dollars, I believe the staff of the Five Cities Fire Authority is diligently focusing on doing its part to be fiscally prudent in supporting the organization as we move forward. Last thing I'll touch on before I jump into the staff report is station staffing. There's been some folks saying, how can you respond to these incidents outside of the county while the station's closed in Oceano? And we'll talk more about that, but I think it's really important for folks to know that on a daily basis, there's approved and funded headcount for 7 personnel to work out of those stations, 3 captains, 2 engineers, 2 firefighters. Even if those employees are sick, on vacation, if they're unfortunately hurt and on workers' comp, we will always have those positions filled with an agreement with our labor unit. So those 7 positions are staffed every single day. What we're here to talk about is the 1 part-time position that still exists at the Oceano Station, that reserve firefighter position. The position was scheduled to be phased out, but with the really tight loss of Measure 820 in Oceano, we're kind of at a holding position while we wait for defined elements and a timeline to take place. So again, FCFA is really dedicated to providing professional and compassionate care to the communities. We're just at this juncture right now. So thank you for allowing me to add those comments before I actually jump into the staff report. The staff report itself, just as a brief overview, is bringing back discussion that was started, honestly, prior to 2017, but was included in the formation of the strategic plan that was adopted in 2017, and then a board at that time actually pulled a chunk out of the strategic plan and prioritized it, and that was the transition from reserve firefighters, a part-time position, to full-time personnel to shore up this issue and this challenge with recruitment and retention that we were seeing several years ago now. Recently I had heard about a jobs offered sign at the In-N-Out Burger in Arroyo Grande, and I drove over there to make sure it was true, and it was. There's a sign on the door offering a starting salary of $17 an hour at the Arroyo Grande In-N-Out Burger with an opportunity to earn up to $20.50 an hour. Even with the 3% COLA that was recently granted to the part-time position, the top end of that salary range is $17 an hour. So that's always been an issue, and it's always caused our part-time personnel to work multiple jobs to make ends meet on the Central Coast. Our remaining reserve firefighter works full-time for the state of California, just as an example. So we've got a recruitment and retention issue due to salaries and also due to a very competitive job market for full-time positions. As referenced in the staff report, the cities of Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Maria are all actively recruiting for full-time positions. And this has been the case since we went down this path in 2017. With the tail end of the baby boomers and maybe even the Gen Xs, there's a competitive opportunity in job market for entry-level firefighter positions. With all of that said, the community stepped forward and we defined a strategy to roll out a transition from part-time to full-time firefighters. And it was supposed to be over 3 fiscal years. And through the first 2 fiscal years, we accomplished the goal and we put full-time folks in the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Station. And we're planning to put 3 full-time folks in the Oceano Station when Oceano came forward and said, you know what, we need some additional revenue and we're going to put a ballot measure on the ballot in 2020. And 66% of their community said yes, but unfortunately 0.67 of their percent of their community said no, and the measure failed by 10 votes. And that truly has led to amendments to the JPA and has fixed funding at levels that are not increasing as we still deal with the recruitment and retention issues with the part-time program. Staff has done an analysis, staff has brainstormed, and the fire chief, myself, I met with the city and district managers last week to discuss this very item, and I need to give kudos to Will Clemens with Oceano because he came up with an out-of-the-box idea that Treasurer Valentine and I were able to vet and we're actually recommending to you today. So I'm not going to go through all of the alternatives unless you'd like me to, but I'm going to focus on the recommendation and the reason behind the recommendation. The recommendation is to retain the remaining reserve firefighter As you know, it takes 3 shifts to staff a fire station every single day. We're going to retain that part-time position as that individual is still able to cover his shift. We're recommending the creation of an additional fire engineer position so we can put a full-time driver operator at the Oceano Station, which will allow to be staffed for a second shift. And then on that third shift, where we're still constrained with staffing, we will run what's called a task force model, which I can go into detail on if you'd like me to, but it will give us some added capacity to respond to high priority calls should a third call for service come in. That's assuming that the Grover Beach station is committed to a call and the Arroyo Grande station, running 4 personnel and 2 vehicles, is committed to a call. If that third call comes in and say it's a cardiac arrest call, the task force will have the option to split off and start patient treatment with the remainder of the task force catching up to them as quickly as possible. With all of that said, and I know I've said a lot, with an analysis of the budget, by reducing some of the reserve firefighter budget and increasing that one full-time employee of the fire engineer position, we're looking at a net impact to the operating budget of $20,800 annually. While this amount is not budgeted, staff would recommend a budget amendment to take that $20,800 out of the fund balance and add it into operating expenditures. I will take a pause there and ask for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, for the report. What I'd like to do, I'm assuming, I believe I've heard that we may have some citizens listening today, which is great. So what I'd like to do is bring it back to the board and have the board ask questions. Let's not get into comments at this point. After we ask questions, I'd like to go to public comment, and then we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. So, Jeff, do you have any questions for the chief?
I do. Thank you, Chair. I do have just a couple questions. So one of which, Chief, has to do with the fiscal impact. So realizing that if we were to go with this option, the fiscal impact would of the $20,800 would come back on a bar. But it provides for the needed new position. So my question becomes, what financial impact would there be if the reserve firefighter was to no longer be employed by the authority? Let's say he took a full-time position with one of those 3 agencies that are actively recruiting. What happens then?
That's a great question. So, I mean, the honest answer is we have looked at every option available to us, given the fixed funding levels, meaning that the community contributions aren't increasing as operating costs increase for us, you know, whether it's fuel or tires or maintenance, whatever it may be, we're managing with a fixed budget. We believe we can, pardon the expression, pull a rabbit out of our hat and add this position to buy us some time to get to 2022 when Oceano goes back to the ballot box. But if we were to lose another reserve firefighter position, we would be coming back to the board. But without funding, we would likely be closing that station and be back to 1 shift out of 3 where it would be open.
Okay, I appreciate that that 2x4 across the top of the head in such a succinct fashion. So second question becomes, what length of time will the fire engineer position take to fill? Is that someone that you can bring on in a month, or is that going to be a 4-month process, or how quickly can you have that person on board?
So as the board knows, we recently had an in-house promotion for fire captain, fire engineer. And it was internal candidates because we had an open captain's position, which we were able to fill with former engineer Mark Searby. We were able to promote firefighter Daniel Densmore to engineer, and I forgot to recognize that we had a firefighter and outside firefighter recruitment as well. and former reserve firefighter Stephen Hensley was promoted to full-time firefighter. I'm sharing that with you in that there was an eligibility list that was created through this recruitment. So I do have qualified candidates for both fire engineer and firefighter. It would just take some scheduling with payroll periods and FLSA requirements to bring that person on board, but I do have the candidates identified.
Very good. I appreciate that. So last question then is, if we were to proceed with the recommended action today and you were able to bring the new fire engineer on in relatively short order, would that reopen the station immediately, or what would the or would it still be the full 10 days, or what kind of brownouts at the Oceano station would we be looking for until the position is filled?
That's a great question. I think what I would do is I would consult with our treasurer, and then I would consult with the labor unit president, because if we have an approved headcount but it hasn't been filled yet, I might be able to work with the union and just get overtime employees to begin working that shift until I bring the full-time person on board.
Okay.
So it would speed up the ability to open the shift.
Okay. I appreciate the confirmation, or the clarification, rather. And, Mr. Chair, those are all the questions I have at the moment.
Thank you very much. And, Karen, do you have any questions for the Chief?
Not really. Not at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Chief, I just had a couple. Certainly, we're in the third JPA, and there's constraints as to funding. But I know the JPA does discuss potential discussions with each member agency should we get to a point if additional funding was necessary. Obviously, that's an individual conversation with each agency. But if we got to a point where we needed to have those discussions, what would be the path forward for something like that?
Great question. They're all great questions. I think Treasurer Valentine and I were chatting yesterday a little bit. We're going to really need to do a projection of our fund balance. I will tell you that our participation in out-of-county incidents this fire season has not as been as dramatic as it was last season. So, again, that unanticipated revenue, to quote an accounting phrase, the reimbursement for our participation is going to be down from what it was last year. So we really need to look at what the fund balance is this year, take this budget adjustment out to $20,800, kind of anticipate what our operating expenditures will be going into the next fiscal year, you know, just assuming a percentage increase, and see what it does. I think when we feel as though we're at jeopardy of drawing down the fund balance is when we would reach out to the city and district managers and ask for a conversation about contribution.
Okay, but under the current climate, you're feeling confident that we hope we can work through with the existing funding
through this fiscal.
Maybe I'm not trying to speak for you, but is there a confidence level?
I believe we can get through this fiscal year, but we really need to take a hard look at the next fiscal year.
Okay, and hopefully I think all of us want Oceano to be successful with their bond measure, but if for some reason it's not, can you talk to the climate of hiring a professional firefighter now with some unknown, and is there the potential that if Oceano is not successful, we may have to consider cutting back on a position? Or I know that's kind of nebulous because we don't really have an answer as to the final configuration of the fire authority, but is there concern of having to release people at some point?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer because we have no idea if there was a dissolution or a reorganization what the other agencies would choose for a service level. But I think just as a more generalized response, whether it's government, a fire department, or a business operation, if you see your revenues decreasing and your expenditures increasing, you have to make those tough management choices, and sometimes it's reducing staffing or reducing other services. So we will have to respond to whatever that fiscal reality is. But again, Chair, it's tough to give you a definitive answer, not knowing how this will play out and what level of service any remaining partners will choose.
Right. No, I appreciate that. And it is a difficult conversation because there are a lot of unknowns. My last question is, what's our outlook for the next 12 to 24 months as far as potential staffing changes in the form of retirements and things like that? I know those aren't absolute or definitive, but dealing with potential turnover issues.
So I will say that there's a couple of employees that I'm aware of that are discussing retirement in the next 12 to 24 months. Those employees are at upper positions, as you can imagine, with their time in the organization, which would create some upward mobility for other employees to move through the organization, or if we were faced with a unfortunate downsizing need, we would work through that with these vacant positions as a starting point. But again, nothing definitive, just what I've heard.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Those are all the questions I have. So what I'd like to do now is, Tricia, do we have any public comment on this item?
I believe that we do. Hold on just one moment. Good morning, caller. Did you have a comment this morning?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Good morning. I wasn't sure how that worked, but good morning. This is Julie Tacker.
Good morning.
I did listen to the presentation, and I had really one question, but I wanted to make some comment. My question is, with the recommendations, and if that's the way your board chooses to go, what kind of guarantee does Oceano get from having any further, from not having any further brownout? And then my comment, and this, I think the characterization of reimbursement for going out on wildfires is misplaced. I think the reimbursement is not revenue. Reimbursement is just that. It's reimbursement. You, the taxpayers, are paying for the costs of the wear and tear on the vehicles and equipment and the wages and the benefits of the people that you send. So you can't make a profit on that. And I question the wisdom of sending your limited staff to a wildfire, leaving your communities at risk, leaving the neighboring agencies to backfill if you don't have the crews to cover the incidents in your jurisdiction. Cal Fire's coming from Napomo or Pismo to backfill your agency, your jurisdiction, because you've sent your team away. I think that is a mischaracterization of the facts. You have contractually obligated responsibility to your community to use the money that is provided by the ratepayers to cover the cost of emergency services to the best of your ability. And I think another day you need to have a conversation with your chief about the wisdom of sending your equipment and your crews to wildfires when you are in such a limited position with your staffing. It's, I think, reckless to leave Oceano with a 10-day brownout in light of, exhausting the crews. So that is my comment, and this is totally my opinion, but I would like some confirmation on no further brownouts if this expenditure change takes place. Oceano is paying, and they let you know that this was all they could pay, and how it's being spent is the question in my mind. So thank you very much, and I look forward to the answer on the brownout question.
Great. Thank you, Mrs. Tacker. And let me see if there's any other public comments, and then we can have staff answer questions.
Yes, hold on just a moment. Good morning, Sean. Did you have a comment?
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. Sean McMahon, Five Cities Firefighters, Local 43403 President. I just want to make a comment that this is a step in the right direction. However, it's not a fix. The JPA still needs to move forward and seek out solutions to provide appropriate staffing. Three full-time employees on each fire apparatus is kind of it's actually below industry standard. Industry standard is technically four, but we need three to be effective in fire suppression and EMS responses. This is only like 1/6 of a fix. We need three or six full-time people that are going to be staffed, actually five now, if you're approving this for the Oceano Station for us to be fully effective. Local 4403 is going to continue to push for appropriate staffing levels for the safety of our customers and for our members. And also, I just want to note that just with these station brownouts, unfortunately, it doesn't affect just Oceano, but it also affects Oro Grande citizens and River Beach citizens. That station does run the majority of the calls to those communities. And that's all I have, and I appreciate you guys considering this, and I hope you guys vote for this and keep moving forward.
Great.
That's it.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. Tricia, anybody else?
That is it at this time.
All right. Thank you very much. No written comments that you're aware of?
There are not.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion. But I'm sorry. First, Chief, what I'd like you to do, if you could, is could you answer Ms. Tacker's question about the guarantee of any brownouts in Oceano? Or lack of brownouts in Oceano, I should say.
Yeah, and I want to apologize. For some reason, I was disconnected from the meeting temporarily while Ms. Tacker was speaking, and I reconnected, and I just heard her request for a guarantee that the Oceano station wouldn't be browned out anymore. If you could help me if there was anything else she was looking for a response on.
No, that was the one. That was the one question she asked.
Okay, very good. So,
and actually, again, Mr. Chair, sorry, Chief. I just also wanted to kind of the second part of Ms. Tacker's question, kind of centered, if I understand it correctly, around the fact that she feels that closure of the Oceano Station requires a mutual aid assistance by PISMO and the POMO stations from Cal Fire, and I'm hoping that the Chief can kind of also expound upon the staffing at PISMO and the POMO Mesa stations by Cal Fire, and the fact that they are not guaranteed to be at those stations if resources are needed by Cal Fire throughout the state as well.
Great, thank you for that, and we'll let the Chief answer.
Okay, so again, in the staff report, two things I wanted to point out as let's start with the Oceano brownout piece, and I'm looking at page 3 of the staff report. You know, there's been talk about why isn't Oceano getting a credit for the station closures and things like that, and it's really it's in a really unfortunate situation. None of us want to be in this situation, but it's really a consequence of the failure of 820. But I do want to direct you to the transitional funding formula. There's now three components to the funding formula based on population, community calls for service, and staffing. When the fire authority was formed in 2010, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach contributed more full-time staffing than Oceano did. The formula that the communities want to end up with Oceano's success with their next ballot measure, is station staffing will be consistent. But currently, if you look at the top of page 3, you'll see that the component of station staffing, actually Oceano pays less than the other two because they have fewer full-time bodies at the station. It's not a good thing, but it's a reality that they're paying less. I also want to point the board, and again, you don't have the document in front of you, I apologize, but if you look at the most recent amendment, actually the second amendment to the JPA, that was going to result in the second phase of full-time firefighter hires. And it actually says in the JPA, in the amendment document, that those firefighters will be stationed at the Grover Beach Station. So all of these things were defined by the member communities and agreed to. We're in a holding pattern right now with the failure of A20, trying to operationally fill and keep that station open as much as we can. The options, as included in the staff report, include directing me to go back and recruit reserve firefighters. Since before 2017, I've shown all of the documentation and proof as to why that's not a cost-effective solution because of the constant turnover and the cost of acquiring those onboarding those employees, training them, only to lose them to full-time work. This is a solution that's a best we can do solution at this time that I am hopeful will keep that station open two out of three shifts a week. But again, as Vice Chair Lee pointed out, what if we lose another reserve firefighter? I'll be coming back to the board. And, at that point, other than asking for additional financial contributions to add the full-time staffing that we were hoping to do, I'm not quite sure how I can guarantee that the station won't be closed. I do want to address mutual aid with the Pismo Beach and Mesa, Napomo Mesa Cal Fire stations, that those would be mutual aid requests. So today, we have three stations. We have three calls running, and a fourth call comes in. Our options are to have a Five Cities Fire Authority resource break off that third call and go to the fourth call, or ask dispatch to see if there's an available engine to take that fourth call for us. That's mutual aid. That is a request saying, hey, Cal Fire Mesa Station, if you're available, we could use your help on this fourth call. It's not a requirement that they respond. And I want to say that the flip of that is also accurate in that Pismo or Napomo could be fully committed and be asking us to respond to an additional call for service. And if we're available, we go. I will tell you that Valley Road in Arroyo Grande outside the city limits is a frequent location where we're asked to help Cal Fire respond to calls for service. So mutual aid is trying to help each other, like I've already pointed out, but mutual aid is also not a guarantee that help is going to come because that unit has to be able and available to back you up. I hope that helps.
I think that does. Thank you very much for those comments. I'll bring it back to the board. Is there any other questions for clarification on anything that's been said? Hearing none, then we'll just get the board's position on this. So, Jeff, I'll go to you first and provide your comments.
Thank you, Mr. Shorten. I appreciate that. I am supportive of staff's recommendation, basically because it is, as the chief has very aptly outlined, this is where we are at the moment. And I think this gives us the best chance of safety and success and coverage in all three communities until the outcome of a hopeful June 2022 ballot measure in Oceano works to kind of right-size the funding contributions for all three communities. And if it's successful, we move together as the organization is currently. If it's unsuccessful, then we've got some other choices, conversations, discussions to have. But I believe this recommendation is the best formula to get us through this uncertain period.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Karen?
Well, obviously, I support it. I mean, it's nothing else. You know, this is our choice. I mean, this is what we have come up with, and I think it's the best we can do at this time, and yes.
All right. Thank you, Karen. From my perspective, I do appreciate the staff report that's been given to us. There are a number of options that the chief had presented, and we've looked through, and certainly there's been a very diligent effort in trying to provide the best service possible to our three communities. I think all of us have expressed over time that we really do want this relationship to work out between the three communities. And I know the chief and his staff are trying very hard to provide the best services possible in limbo as we wait the result of the ballot measure with Oceano. And we certainly hope that it is successful. So we can continue on this journey of this evolution that the chief mentioned. Even prior to my presence on this board, there were people in our places that had made decisions that really wanted to provide the best quality public safety services in the form of our firefighters and the services that they offer. And so I think we are a continuance of that. I do think our communities need this and want this. And I do believe the option that's been presented to us by the chief is our best path forward. And I'm hoping it will sustain us until we get to that point where Oceano successfully passes its measure. With that said, if I'd like to have a motion entertained by either of my board members.
Chair Storton, this is Steve Lieberman.
Yes.
With a request. Just a friendly request, and Treasurer Valentine, jump in with me if I don't word this appropriately, but we were hoping that you would amend the recommended action by directing us to make a budget adjustment as well to account for this change. Is that correct, Treasurer?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Great. So thank you for that additional information. So any more motion coming forward would include the bar adjustment.
Correct.
So with that, Chair, let me try and craft a statement, and the chief or Ms. Valentine can include any language that I forget. But I'd like to make a motion that we direct the fire chief to maintain the existing reserve firefighter position, to add a full-time fire engineer position to be assigned to the Oceano Fire Station, and to supplement the Oceano Fire Station staffing with a task force response model as needed, and to bring back any necessary financial adjustments at an appropriate date on a future agenda.
And I'd second that.
Is that was that worded appropriately for staff?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's fine.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. All right, thank you for that. It passes 3-0. We will move on to board member items. Is there any discussions as to any potential future agenda items from the board members that need to be placed on a future agenda?
So perhaps,
right.
Mr. Storton, just a quick question. This may be a clarification for the chief, but I know you had put together, and we had heard a presentation at the last meeting about the kind of the funding scenarios and the funding contributions for each jurisdiction. So there was also discussion at previous board meetings about determining assets and determining the kind of the formula of what each community currently holds or occupies, and is that in process, or is that presentation to be done after the Oceano initiative determination?
Mike, I have a clarifying question. Are you referring to the, lack of a better description, the work program items as defined in those amendments to the JPA, determination of assets and liabilities and along with PERS liability? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, that's thank you for putting my garbled language into appropriate text.
No worries at all. So I will say that that's something that will be brought to the City and District Managers Working Group. Treasurer Valentine just shot me a preliminary email from a PERS actuarial. I have not had a chance to review it with her yet. But determining which resources are still in place and which member community contributed those is done. Equipment inventory is done. Liabilities is really down to lease payments and PERS. So definitely a lot of work has been checked off as far as boxes, but I would say that the PERS piece is the big one that we're still working through with a consultant.
Jeff, was that all you had?
Yes, it was. Thank you for allowing me to ask that question.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to Fire Chief items. Chief?
Thank you. I'm sure you've heard enough from me for one day. I will just share a couple of things with you in that Mr. Clemens and Oceano has placed something on the agenda next week regarding station closures and staffing. I will be attending that meeting on Wednesday evening. I am frantically searching my calendar for when I will be going to the city of Grover Beach to present the information presented to this board regarding the cost analysis of service delivery models that was also shared with the city of Arroyo Grande. It is in October. I don't have the date right in front of me, unfortunately. So I've got
I believe you're joining us on October 12th.
Get that. October 12th, FCFA, Grover. Thank you. And the only other things are, it looks as though while those incidents up north are still active incidents, and again, just to give you a guideline, when you see on the news where it talks about how many acres burn and what percent containment, that does not mean the fire is being extinguished when it says 67% contained, as an example. That just means a containment line is around 67% of the fire perimeter. But with that said, I think things are ramping down. Local resources are coming closer to being in control of their incidents, and I believe that Five Cities resources will be heading home beginning this weekend. And it'll be nice to get the equipment back, get nice to get our personnel back, and give a break to those that have been staffing the stations in their absence. I will be out of the office next week. I need to attend a family wedding in Chicago and then visit my parents in North Carolina. I will be gone for less than a week, and I'll be back in the office. You will receive an email detailing who the acting fire chief is in my absence between Salcy and Heath. And that concludes my fire chief updates.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from the board?
No.
Hearing none. Okay, thank you. Hearing none. Tricia, do we have any public comment or questions from citizens regarding the chief's comments?
We don't have any new callers.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll move on to general counsel items, and we have none. Next is board communications. I'll start with Jeff. Jeff, do you have any board communications?
Nothing to share at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen?
Nothing.
Great. I don't have anything either. So we'll move on to closed session items where we have none. And now is the time for adjournment. So thank you very much, everybody, for the beneficial conversations and direction provided to staff today. And everybody have a good weekend.
Thank you.
This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.